TT is here in the nursery for children ages 0 to 2, so you're welcome to go with TT and the other kids. Ellen is waiting for you in Kids Zone with a great Easter morning plan. Thank you again for singing for us this morning. Let's pray together. God, we return again this year to Easter Sunday. We have journeyed together through Lent. We have spoken of darkness and of betrayal and of your crucifixion and of hopelessness. And now we come to this Sunday and we celebrate you, our risen Lord and Savior. God, we thank you that light, your light, you being the light, penetrated, broke through the darkness. And this morning we come as your followers, anticipating this Easter morning, the remembrance of all that this day holds. God, may we pause even now. May we open our hearts and our minds and our ears for something new from you today, something that we may hold on to again as we celebrate your life. Amen. On Friday, we left our Good Friday service with the mark of the peace of Christ on our foreheads. And when placing the sign of the cross, the sign of peace on people's foreheads, I often end by placing my fingers on the cross that I have just drawn. And I think of this as like pressing the peace into that person, pressing the peace of Christ deep, hoping that the peace of Christ will embed in that person's mind and their being and their spirit. That is my desire, that the peace of Christ would stay, would remain. I want you, I want myself to know the abiding peace of Christ. During COVID, when we were at a great distance from one another, I began the practice of placing the cross of Christ, of placing the peace of Christ on my own forehead. And I have continued to do this practice, always at the end, pressing the cross. And as I press it in, I pause and I breathe. From the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I breathe in the peace of Christ, the shalom that Christ offers you and offers me. I encourage you to try that, to say on a day, the peace of Christ attend me. Hold that with you. During this Lenten season, we have focused on the life and the faith of Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. In Peter, we see a person who is both steadfast and very unsteady. We see a dear friend of Jesus, and we see a betrayer. We see a follower, and we see a wanderer. And in Peter, we often see ourselves. By following Peter's journey, we watch the story of Jesus unfold through the eyes of a very normal human being, trying to figure it all out, just like us. In reflecting on Peter's life, we were seeking to affirm that wandering is simply exploration and learning. It's not necessarily distancing ourselves from God. And in focusing on the incidents in Peter's life, I really wanted to affirm that the ways of Peter can encourage us to keep on going and to see how Peter himself keeps going. He does allow Jesus to wash his feet. He does drop the nets into the water. He weeps in despair. He is close to the cross on which Jesus dies. He runs to the empty tomb. He jumps out of the boat and heads to Jesus, who is on the shore, wanting to meet his risen Lord. Peter keeps searching. He keeps yearning, and he keeps loving, even after his missteps and his mistakes. His journey is not polished, it is definitely not linear, and it's not perfect. but he always is tied to the love of God. And when you look closely at Peter's story, we see Jesus all along the way, Jesus accompanying Peter. He offers him abundance. He catches him when he begins to sink. He challenges him when he stays in the way of having his feet washed. And all this time, he offers Peter love, this agape love, this unconditional love. And ultimately, in Peter's story, we are reminded that God loves imperfect people. Like me, maybe like you. In fact, time and time again, that's precisely who Jesus says are his own and are the ones that Jesus calls. As I read the accounts of Jesus' words and interactions with Peter before his death on the cross, I think of it as Jesus saying over and over again, "May the peace of Christ abide with you, Peter. Peter, remember my peace. Peter, my peace will and does attend you." After Peter's denial of Jesus, Scripture tells us that he wept bitterly. This weeping signals an absence of peace in Peter. Peter's whole being has been shaken by doing what he promised Jesus that he would never do. He promised Jesus that he would never betray him, and he promised himself that he would never betray Jesus. And before Peter could make things right with Jesus, before he could express his deep sorrow and his repentance, all chaos broke loose, and Jesus was dragged to the cross where he was crucified. As a family, we used to do this rather silly game. I look back at it now and see it maybe wasn't the greatest kind of parenting, but we did it. Maybe I should say I did it. As Mallory moved into adolescence, her hasty goodbyes didn't quite meet my needs for goodbyes from my child. And so I would say to her, "Hey, Mally, say goodbye to me like this was the last time that you will see me." I know. Wasn't great when I looked behind. And if she was in a mood that would appease her mother, she would wrap me in a great big hug and she would say, "I love you, Mom." But other times, when she was really living out her adolescence, she would look at me, kind of roll her eyes and say, "Bye, Mom." And in a joking kind of way, I would sometimes say to her, "I really hope that this isn't our last goodbye, because it wasn't a very good one." But I think of this as I reflect on what Peter carried with him after Jesus' death. He really did not have a good goodbye to Jesus. His last words to Jesus had been denial. He had broken his connection with Jesus. And he would have carried this with him as he entered into the days following or leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Can you imagine the suffering that Peter endured as he carried that and watched his Jesus die and be buried? I think it really is possible for us to imagine, to actually feel these feelings of remorse and regret that Peter felt, and the absence of peace that he experienced. At the end of our Good Friday service, we left this sanctuary in silence. We were sent into Friday and to Saturday with an invitation to feel the sadness of the loss of Jesus, to experience the tension of what moving from hope to hopelessness feels like, and then from hopelessness to hope. And the only reason that I would invite you to leave in silence and invite you into this tension of suffering is because we know that the tomb becomes empty, that Jesus comes back to life. We know the resurrection. We know that darkness did not defeat the light. But Peter didn't know that. And those who love Jesus, they didn't know that. They were experiencing deep grief, fear, and confusion. Mark 16 tells one episode that happened after Jesus' death. It reads, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who is crucified, but he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. We know that Peter was one of the disciples. And yet this messenger of God explicitly says, and Peter. As I read these two words, and Peter, I see the deep love and grace of Jesus. Can you see it in those two words? The last thing that Peter had done was deny Jesus. And now in these very early hours of Christ's resurrection, God has a message for Peter. The angel, this messenger of God, mentions Peter's name specifically. Peter would have immediately known the meaning of this implicit message. God, through his messenger, God, through his love, wanted Peter to know that he was seen and that he was still very much a part of the disciples. Jesus in no way had disowned Peter. In this way, God comforted and encouraged Peter in the sorrow over his sin. The significance of the words and Peter is that they encapsulate the message of the resurrection. They bring meaning to the promise that God will make all things new. And as the message version of Scripture records the psalmist's words where they say, count yourself lucky, how happy you must be. You get a fresh start, Peter, each of you here. Your slate is wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from him. You get a fresh start. To Peter, and hopefully to us, these words are life. Peter was singled out to receive a word of forgiveness and an invitation and a promise that he would see Jesus again. Mark 16:7 again reads, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And Peter, these words were initiated by Jesus. It was Jesus who sent the message of love and reconciliation to Peter. Matthew 20 tells us that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As the angel said, and Peter, I see this as once again Jesus serving Peter. Just days before Jesus was led to the cross, Peter was very, very adamant that Jesus was not going to wash his feet. And in that interaction, Jesus said to Peter, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. And this is the later part now that Peter is experiencing. Again, when Jesus was trying to wash Peter's feet, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And here, once again, Jesus, with love and compassion to Peter, gives Peter a message just for him. In his love for Peter, he clearly spells it out that in that moment, Peter would not be able to understand what Jesus was doing, but later, Peter would understand. I believe that as the angel said, "And Peter," it was Jesus' way to remind Peter of all that he had experienced with Jesus. He was asking Peter to dig deep, to hold on, to let the peace of Christ sustain him in this time that Peter and the others were not able to understand. Have you ever experienced a time in your life, a situation in your life, where remembering a word of scripture or a message that God had brought to you that immediately brought peace to you, and you didn't understand what was going on, but then when God spoke, a peace came? The words can be a promise from scripture, or words that the Holy Spirit gives you right in that moment to strengthen you and to remind you of God's everlasting love and presence. I had such an experience the day that my best friend died in June. Sue lived in BC, and she had been diagnosed with cancer 10 plus years ago, but she had been doing really, really well. And I was shocked to receive a call from her that she had gone to the hospital and that she was in the ICU. We were headed to Ottawa to see Mallory and Aaron that day, and I had packed a bag thinking that I might leave from Ottawa to fly to BC just to spend some time with Sue. And I remember that drive to Ottawa very, very well. I was carrying deep concern for Sue, and what I was saying to myself was, I need to see Sue. I need to see Sue. It was very, very pressing. And for me, what this meant was that I needed to see Sue if she was going to die, that I needed to see Sue so that I could tell her how much I loved her, that I needed to see Sue to affirm our friendship. I just needed to see Sue. And as we were driving, and this was pressing into me, Jesus interrupted my thoughts. And very slowly, the Holy Spirit introduced something new to me. It was, you want to see Sue. You don't need to see Sue, but you really, really want to see Sue. And at first, I didn't receive it. I just really needed to see Sue. And what happened was this transition that had happened, and I experience it now as God's kindness to me in this situation. And God really initiated it. And as I changed my thoughts to not needing to see Sue, but wanting to see Sue, I had no understanding at that moment how important that message was. And I believe that it was Jesus seeing me and Jesus serving me and sending a message to me from heaven. Just like he said, and Peter, the Holy Spirit really said, and Catherine, you just want to see her. And very, very sadly, Sue died just 7 hours after I received that message from God. And I need to tell you, with great confidence, that this was God's way of sparing me from incredible anguish. If God had not changed my need to want, I believe that my grief over Sue's death would have actually been unbearable because I would have carried with me forever. I just needed to see her. And as I remain deeply, deeply sad for the loss of my friend, that message of I wanted to see her before she dies, it has taken away a lot of my fears and my wonderings. Wonderings that maybe she didn't know how much I loved her. Wonderings, did she get a chance to recall all the wonderfulness of our friendship? It just allowed me to be confident that our friendship had been solid and that no words were left unspoken. And more than that, it reminded me by God's own initiation that God was with me, knowing way before I did the hard that was coming, that God was walking with me and has been with me. The angel said to Peter, the angel said, and Peter. And the Holy Spirit says these words to us. I'm going to invite us to pause just for a minute and imagine God saying your name, and Chris, and Meredith, and Katie, and Jeff. Just imagine Jesus saying your name, drawing you close to him, reminding you that you are seen, loved, held, and never forgotten. Let's just take a pause. In moments when we're feeling lost or confused or deeply burdened with sadness, I invite us to go back to the peace of Christ that has been drawn on our forehead. And I invite us to hear our names spoken by God saying, and I have this special message, this encouragement for you. Amanda read to us a blessing a little bit earlier. And I believe this was kind of the message that the angel wanted to say to Peter. The blessing is, may renewal radiate within me and revival emanate through me. May dawn displace the darkness and spring replace the winter in my life. May the God of hope so fill me with joy and peace this Easter that I may overflow with hope. A central message of Easter is that God initiates forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. Within the words, and Peter, Jesus was offering an act of restoration to love and friendship with Peter. From the empty tomb, Peter was sent a message of forgiveness and of love. A message of love that is stronger than death. That is the message that we are also given. Jeremiah 31:3 speaks of this love initiated by God. It reads, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. How beautiful to know that we worship a God who initiates love with and for us, that God runs to us, that God comes alive for us. My hope for you this Easter is that you will receive afresh this love that Jesus initiates, that you will hear your own name included in and Peter, that in times of doubt and struggle, that you will bring to mind the deep peace that Jesus blessed the disciples with after his resurrection, when in John 14, he says, all this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. Let's pray. God, this morning we hear that your resurrection message was for Peter. It was for the women outside of the tomb. It was for the disciples locked behind a door full of fear. And this message of resurrection is for us. God, thank you that you initiate relationship with us. Thank you that you see us, you hear us, and your deepest desire for us is for friendship, for a deep, deep relationship, and for your love and your peace and your hope to be known deep within us. And so on this day where we celebrate your resurrection, may we hold tight to this peace. May we hold tight to this hope. May we hold tight to your love. Amen.